Countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the National Dairy Council. The journey begins on Ireland's farm pastures and ends with natural goodness on your table.
Now, while farmers protest at low prices, the value of beef and live exports from Ireland is worth over 2 billion euros annually. Ireland is the largest net exporter of beef in the Northern Hemisphere and the seventh worldwide. Though a low-margin business, it has managed to make millionaires of many Irish individuals and families behind the country's big meat plants. Well, joining us now to tell us more about Ireland's beef barons is farming journalist and reporter John Shirley. John, good morning.
Good morning.
How many beef processors are there in the country to begin with?
Well, there are about 25 export plants, but that is multiple owned. In that, Larry Goodman would own 6, that Don Meats would own 4, Keepak would own 3. So in terms of absolute owners, you're talking about maybe 12.
Okay, and the big players, you've mentioned them there, but Larry Goodman wouldn't just be the largest in Ireland, but the largest in the UK as well, is that right?
That is right, and he also has two factories in Poland, and he was in South America, I believe. He's not involved in South America now. And he's got very significant beef packing operations and retail packing plants as well.
And the other companies there, the other big ones would be Dawn and Keepak. Who owns these businesses?
Dawn is owned by the Queeleys and Brown families from Cork and Waterford. They're supposed to have a wealth between them of close to half a billion. In the rich list, they were number 53, which actually was well below Larry Goodman, which he was on about 650 million. And strangely, Bert Allen, he's one of the beef barons that has a low profile, but he made most of his money out of the hotel business, and he actually sold the Bewley Group there before the collapse. And a notable feature is that the beef barons in general didn't get caught with the collapse of the Celtic Tiger. They stuck to the core businesses they were at, and Larry Goodman is now picking up coarse bargains in the property market at the moment.
Okay, so, and some of them would have investments outside of the whole beef business as well. What about the Keating family and Keepak?
Yeah, the Keating family, started by Noel Keating. They have 3 plants in the country. They're fairly significant into added value as well. They took over the Silvercrest Burger plant in Monaghan after the horsemeat scandal.
Okay, and their flagship operation would be in Clonee in County Meath.
Clonee, County Meath, Watergrass Hill, and in Kilbeggan.
Yeah, and the Noel Keating, the late Noel Keating, died maybe 2 decades ago, but it remained in the family name, and they would be worth quite a lot of money as well.
Yes, they're in the rich list at number 73, according to the Independent list earlier this year.
I wonder how farmers react listening to this, considering they're protesting outside these beef factories looking for better prices, and the factory's saying they can't give it to them, and yet they read these rich lists.
Yeah, I think that the single biggest cause for farmer dissatisfaction is the price gap that has opened up between Britain and Ireland. Now, they're talking about a price gap now of 300 to 350 per steer or heifer. And that, above all, is what has angered farmers.
Yeah, the fundamental difference between them and the dairy sector is that the dairy farmers have some say. They have some control in their local co-ops, because they are co-ops, farmer-owned co-ops. It seems that the beef factories are all privately owned. Has a beef co-op ever been tried, and would it work?
Ironically, Damien, the co-ops, or the farmers, owned over 60% of the beef processing industry 30 years ago, but they didn't seem to have the necessary flexibility to be able to respond in the beef industry. And they gradually or fairly quickly sold out of the co-op business in the 1980s, and since it has been dominated then by the private operators. Yeah.
And love them or hate them, you know, the barons, as we refer to them, maybe that's not a term of endearment, not one that they would like to have labelled on them, because it conjures up these images of huge wealthy operations and ranches and all that. But they do create huge employment and are vital, I suppose, to the survival of beef farming. And as I said, you know, we are the largest net exporter of beef in the Northern Hemisphere. That's obviously worth something to the rural economy.
Oh, there is no doubt about it. They're ambitious people, they're very efficient people, And it is important that when we're dealing with big supermarket groups, that we have fairly big players on our side as well. So they're very much integrated into the whole beef industry here, and an absolute key part of the operation.
Yes, John.
I was listening to the minister there, Damien, and he was saying that there was a sort of a fortnight of an amnesty when there would be no protests. But that is not my impression. What I'm saying is there seems to be a fundamental misunderstanding between what the minister is saying and what the IFA believe. And the IFA, in turn, they're being driven by the troops on the ground. And, I was surprised at a couple of local IFA meetings how vehement and willing to carry out the blockades.
Well, that
and November is a time that's not very busy on farms. So if you want to arrange an IFA meeting, November is a good time to do it. The farmers haven't a lot to do.
Okay. Well, I'm sure there'll be some clarification in relation to that, because the impression abroad would be that if there's talks being independently chaired by Michael Downing between both sides, that it would mean there would be a ceasefire of sorts over the next fortnight. But we'll have to wait and see. And as you said, it will depend on any change in prices over the next few days. John Shirley, thank you very much indeed for talking to us on Countrywide this morning.